Our scripture reading this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. You can find this on page 145 of the Pew Bible. Page 145. Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Hear now God's holy word. These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel beyond the Jordan, in the wilderness, in the Arabah, opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the people of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment to them. After he had defeated Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth and in Edrei, beyond the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to explain this law, saying, and thus far the reading of God's holy word. Well, this morning we're going to begin a new sermon series on the book of Deuteronomy. Now, you might be thinking, why Deuteronomy? Well, that is a good question. And in this introductory sermon, I want to give you three reasons why we want to focus our time on the book of Deuteronomy. And the first is this: Deuteronomy is God's word. Now, it's certainly true, of course, that Deuteronomy is Moses' word. Verse 1 says that these are the words that Moses spoke. And that is a very apt description of what this book is all about. Because it is a written record of three speeches or sermons, one song and one benediction that Moses spoke to the people of Israel. Now, there's some other material in the book, including such things as Moses' death, but the bulk of this book is Moses' speeches, the things that he spoke to the people of Israel. And so the book of Deuteronomy is very much Moses' word. But that, of course, is not the whole story. Moses' word is also God's word. Verse 3 says that Moses said what God told him to say. So Moses is not here sharing his own opinions or those of Pharaoh or Hammurabi or someone like that. No, Moses was a prophet and he was speaking the word of the Lord. Paul says that all scripture, and that includes Deuteronomy, is breathed out by God. And Peter says that prophets, and that includes Moses, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so Moses' word in Deuteronomy is God's word. God spoke through Moses. What Moses said is what God said. And that is why we should study the book of Deuteronomy. Not because it's Moses' word, but because Moses' word is God's word. And when God speaks, we need to listen. All human beings need to listen when God speaks. But we Christians especially need to listen, and in particular listen to Deuteronomy, because Deuteronomy is God's word to us as Christians. Deuteronomy is not God speaking to pagans or unbelievers. It's not an evangelistic tract in that sense. No, this book is specifically addressed to the people of God, to the church. Deuteronomy is God's word to us, which is the second reason why we ought to focus on the book of Deuteronomy. It's God's word to us. And this is where I think some Christians get hung up and don't really pay too much attention to Deuteronomy or the Old Testament for that matter. Now, they don't have a problem seeing that Deuteronomy is God's divine, inspired word. The problem they have is seeing that Deuteronomy is God's word to us today in the Christian church. And that is because they tend to see it in the Old Testament as a whole as being primarily for Israel and the New Testament for us today. They had Moses and we have Christ. They had the Old Covenant. We have the New Covenant. They had Old Testament worship. We have New Testament worship. They had circumcision. We have baptism. They were under the law. We are under grace. They're Israel. We're the church. They lived in the ancient Near East. We live in the modern world. And what is more, they have all these laws, like food laws, that we just don't keep anymore. And so it seems like Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, well, that's for Israel for that time, but not for us here today. Now, it's certainly true, of course, that Deuteronomy is God's word to ancient Israel. In fact, it was a word given to them at a very specific and particular moment in their history, a very pivotal moment in their history. As you know, God had rescued Israel from slavery in Egypt. He brought them to himself at Mount Sinai, and there he made a gracious covenant with them. A covenant is a relationship with promises, with responsibilities, and with sanctions. Now, marriage is one type of covenant. And the covenant that God made with Israel at Mount Sinai is very much like a marriage relationship, which is why, of course, Israel's unfaithfulness to God is described in the Old Testament as adultery. And so at Mount Sinai, God joined himself to Israel by covenant. He is their God, and they are his people. They are one. They are together. They're joined together. And one of the promises that God made with Israel was to give them the land of Canaan, a beautiful land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But again, as you know, the first generation that came out of Egypt rebelled against God, and they refused to take what God had promised to give them. And so they wandered for 40 years in the desert until the very last of that generation had died. But now the next generation has arisen, and they are about to enter into Canaan. This is where we are with the book of Deuteronomy. Verse 5 says that they are beyond the Jordan in the land of Moab. And that means they're on the border of Canaan, right across from the river Jordan. And they are ready to cross the river to go in and possess the land. Now, for reasons, as we shall see later on, Moses is not going to go with Israel into the land. His earthly pilgrimage is coming to an end. He's about to die, and he's going to hand the reins of leadership to Joshua. He will lead them into the land. But before he dies, and before Israel crosses the Jordan River, Moses here, in verse 3, speaks to the people of Israel. And so Deuteronomy is essentially Moses' farewell address, a farewell sermon to the people of Israel. It is his last sermon. Now, what does Moses say to Israel in his farewell address? Well, verse 5 says that he undertook to explain this law. Now, when you hear the word law, what do you automatically think? What comes to mind? Well, surely when we think of law, we think of rules and regulations. But that's not what this word law here means. This is the word Torah in Hebrew, and it means instruction. Torah certainly includes rules and regulations like the Ten Commandments, but we need to understand it's much more than that. Torah is God's entire word to his people. Gospel and law, if you will. Torah is about what God has promised to do for his people, what God has done for his people, what God will do for his people, and what God requires of his people. Torah is God's covenant word to his covenant people. It is his instruction to his people. And Moses explains this Torah in Deuteronomy. That is to say, he makes it clear to them. He applies it to them and their particular situation. In light of God's grace, how now shall the people of God live? Deuteronomy is essentially Moses' answer to that question. And here he teaches Israel what it means to be the people of God, what it means to love God and to serve him. But he doesn't just instruct them in these things. He preaches to them, as we shall see. And time again, he will urge them to love God, to be faithful to him, to choose to follow him, and not to go after other gods. Because it's not enough, of course, for the people of God simply to be in covenant with God or to be a part of the church. The people of God need to be faithful to God. Remember, the relationship we have with God is like a marriage. And even as it's not enough for a spouse to be legally married, but not to have that loving, faithful relationship with their spouse, so it's not right for the people of God not to love the Lord their God and to serve him. And this new generation that's about to enter the promised land needs to understand that. They need to know what the relationship with God is all about. They need to renew, as it were, the covenant that they have with God. They need to own it for themselves. And that's what Moses urges them to do in this book. And so Deuteronomy is God's word to ancient Israel at a particular time in their history. But again, that isn't the whole story. It is also God's word to us today. Now, how can I say that? Well, consider the book of Philippians. Was that book addressed to you? Well, no, it was addressed to the church at Philippi, the saints at Philippi, at a particular time in the first century. But, of course, we know it's God's word to us as well. But, of course, someone might say, yeah, well, I understand that. But that's the New Testament. And Deuteronomy is in the Old Testament. And how can that be for us today? Well, consider this. Consider what the New Testament says about the Old Testament and how the New Testament uses the Old Testament in the life of the New Testament church. The New Testament says that the Old Testament is for us. Paul says in Romans 15, in verse 4, that it was written for our instruction. It doesn't say it was written for Israel. It was written for our instruction. And Paul says it is profitable to us for teaching, reproof, correction, and for training us in righteousness. And the New Testament also says in Hebrews that the message of good news that is preached to us today was preached to Israel. They heard the gospel just as we hear the gospel. And so there isn't one message for Israel and then a different message for us. No, there is one message of good news, and it was given to Israel in the Old Testament and to us as well in the New Testament. The New Testament uses Israel as an example and warning for us today. It tells us, don't be like Israel and respond to the good news in the way that they responded to it, that is, with unbelief and disobedience. Because if you do that, then you will suffer the same fate that they did. Instead, respond to the message, the same message, in the way they should have responded with faith and obedience. And so the New Testament says, imitate, not Israel as a whole, but imitate the remnant that was within Israel. Imitate the saints of the Old Testament, like Abel, Noah, and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, and many others that are listed, of course, in Hebrews chapter 11. And the New Testament cites Old Testament commandments as being binding on the New Testament church. In other words, the New Testament says, do this and don't do that, because the Old Testament says, do this or don't do that. Just one example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9, Paul tells the church to compensate ministers because of what Moses says in Deuteronomy. He appeals directly to the Old Testament, which means the Old Testament directly applies to the New Testament church. Now, how can the New Testament speak and use the Old Testament in this way? Well, the reason, or at least one reason, is because Israel's story is our story. We are Israel. You see, the Christian church did not replace Israel and start something brand new, as if God just went back to zero again. And the church does not exist in addition to Israel, so that now you have two peoples of God. You got Israel on the one hand, and you got the church on the other. And Israel goes by the Old Testament, and this other people of God goes by the New Testament. No, that's not how it works. The Old Testament nation of Israel is fulfilled in the New Testament church. As we looked at in John, Jesus is the true Israel. And everybody, whether you're Jew or Gentile, everybody who is united to Jesus, who's joined to Jesus, Jesus is the vine, he's the Israel, and every branch connected to him is part of Israel. And this is why Paul says in Ephesians 2 that Gentiles, who by nature are alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, are made one with Jews in Christ. He says, we who were once far off are brought near. They're brought near to Israel, and they become inheritors of those same promises, become part of that same nation, the same people of God. We, as Paul says in Galatians, are children of Abraham. We inherit the same promises, the same word. And this means then that Israel's story and history become our story and history. And God purposely ordered and directed Israel's history so that it would be a framework by which we can understand and interpret our own story in the New Testament. The story of Israel enables us to understand our relationship with God and his salvation of us. Now, we call this in theology typology. And that's how the New Testament interprets the Old Testament. And it's how we are to understand and apply Deuteronomy to us today. Now, this is how it works. Take Israel's slavery in Egypt. That is comparable to our life apart from God in Christ. Their life in Egypt under Pharaoh, who oppressed them, is like our life in the kingdom of darkness before we were converted to Christ. The Passover and the Exodus, the deliverance from that terrible life in Egypt, is comparable to our deliverance from sin and Satan by Christ's death and resurrection. In fact, Jesus is called the Lamb of God. He's called our Passover, the one who delivers us from our sin and the ruler of this world. Moses, and then Joshua, leading the people to the promised land. Well, that's comparable to Jesus leading us to glory, to the new heavens and the new earth, the heavenly Jerusalem, the place that the land pointed forward to. And so the story of Israel is our story. And that means that the experiences of Israel are parallel to our experiences. Now, yes, of course, there's the old covenant and there's a new covenant. But we need to understand that these two covenants are essentially the same kind of covenants. They teach the same message of salvation, and they require the same response. Another way of putting it is that God relates to us today in essentially the same way that God related to the Israelites in the Old Testament. See, it's not as if God related to Israel by works and he relates to us by grace. It's not as if God was mean in the Old Testament, but he's kind of nice in the New Testament. No, God is the same. He changes not. And he related to Israel by grace, just like he does to us today. And the same promises given to Israel and the same requirements, faith and obedience, are essentially the same that we have today. Which is why, of course, Old Testament Israel can serve as an example and warning to us. I mean, that wouldn't work unless God related to them in the same way that he relates to us. Because if they were under a completely different kind of covenant, then they couldn't be an example to us. Because that way of doing things has now changed. And so it doesn't really compare to our situation. And if there's no comparison there, then they can't be an example to us. But again, there are differences, of course, between the covenants, between the Old and New Testaments. The way the message is presented is certainly different. In the Old Testament, the same message of salvation is presented in terms of what we call types. Egypt, slavery, Exodus, animal sacrifices, the promised land, these kinds of things. And the exact same message is presented to us by what we call the antitypes, the things that those types correspond to, like rescue from Satan's kingdom, the sacrifice of Christ, the heavenly Jerusalem, and so on. Also, we have to keep in mind that important changes have come about with the coming of Christ and the establishment of the new covenant. Obviously, the way we worship is one important change, and the food laws are another. And so we always have to be careful to interpret the Old Testament, including Deuteronomy, in light of the New Testament. And, of course, we have to apply what we learn in Deuteronomy to the principles that we learn and apply them to our particular situation, just like what we would do when we read Philippians, and we need to apply what we learn there to our particular situation. But the point I want you to see is that these minor changes don't take away from the fact that there is substantial unity and continuity between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Again, that's why the New Testament treats the Old Testament in the way that it does. And that means that Deuteronomy is truly God's word to us today. It's not something that we just kind of, you know, put in the back burner or just throw it out because it's not really relevant to us. No, this is God's word to us today. Not just God's word to Israel and ancient Israel when they were about to enter the promised land, but one that is very relevant to us today. And it will instruct us, encourage us, correct us, train us in righteousness. We will learn much about what it means to be a Christian and what it means to live the Christian life. In fact, this book is a very good book for young people, for the next generation. Because it will remind you that you can't live off your parents' faith. You can't live off your parents' faith. You need to respond to God's grace yourself. You need to choose Christ yourself if you want to live and inherit the promises that are yours. And by the same token, it will remind you that you won't die on your parents' lack of faith. The first generation out of Egypt died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. But their children didn't have to suffer the same fate, and they wouldn't so long as they embraced the covenant. And the same is true for you. Does it matter if one parent or both parents forsake Jesus and go off some other road? You don't have to lose out on the promises if you don't want to. Choose Christ, follow him, and you will live. That's part of the message of Deuteronomy. You know, Deuteronomy is also a good book for us here in America in many ways, I think. Israel is about to go from rags to riches. They will soon enjoy the good life. Things are going to go very well for them, at least for a time. And Moses prepares them for the temptations that come when things are going well for you, when you are prosperous and enjoying many good things, when you're enjoying the good life. And we are, in many ways, rich here in America. We have many blessings, and we face the same types of temptations that Moses warns Israel about in this book. So we ought to focus on Deuteronomy because it's God's word to us today. But the third reason why we ought to focus on Deuteronomy is because it's God's important word to us. Now, for sure, all of God's word is important. But it's also true, I think, to say that not all of it is equally important. And there are some books that are more important in the sense that they're more central, more foundational than other books. And Sinclair Ferguson, in his book on Scripture that we studied in Sunday school a year or two ago, rightly says that it's worth your time to study in depth these foundational books. And so, of course, the question is, what are those foundational books? Well, Ferguson mentions books such as Genesis, Psalms, Isaiah, John, Acts, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. Now, he doesn't mention Deuteronomy. I was a little shocked by that. I thought he would. But he doesn't. But Deuteronomy clearly belongs in that category. What do you think was Jesus' favorite book when he was a child, growing up in Nazareth, or during his public ministry? What was Jesus' favorite book? I mean, how would you answer that question anyways? But some have suggested that it was Deuteronomy because he quotes more from that book than any other book. So clearly it meant something to our Lord. And Deuteronomy is universally recognized as a key book in the Old Testament. And you can see its influence throughout the rest of the Old Testament, especially in the prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah. It has been described as the heartbeat of the Old Testament. And since the New Testament is built upon the Old Testament, you won't be surprised to know that its influence is felt in the New Testament too. The New Testament loves the book of Deuteronomy. It is quoted over 80 times in the New Testament, and references to it occur in all the New Testament books except John, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, and 1 and 2 Peter, at least according to one commentator. I didn't do all the work on that. Also, one point to bring out is that when I am preaching through a book, a New Testament book, it has been generally my practice to find an Old Testament passage that corresponds to the text I'm preaching on. And time and time again, I found myself turning to some passage in Deuteronomy to the point where I say, I can't pick Deuteronomy because I'm always going to Deuteronomy. And that's because the themes and theology of this book are found right through the Bible all the way to the end of Revelation. So it seems to me there is no doubt that Deuteronomy is an important book. And if you want a better understanding of the message of the Bible, we need to be familiar with this book of the Bible. So why study Deuteronomy? Because it's God's word, because it's God's word to us, and because it is God's important word to us. Let us pray.